We're back. I think this is patrons only. Thought we should start by checking in on you and how things are going for you in your neck of the woods. We haven't really heard any substantive discussion about that since like October 8th, basically.
Yeah, we're here in a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, even though I'm not near like any of the real action, you really, and you might even feel this in America, I don't know, you just have a pit, you know, like a pit in your stomach the whole day, really. Like, what's the news going to be? All the news is bad. Like, there's no real such thing as good news. It's like almost like no news is better. You know, I'm on Twitter way too much. I probably should just delete it or something.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something I need to know or if, you know, I'm on, like, you know, it's dangerous for me, like, I'll probably find out. But it's bad. And the scary thing is, A, like, it could get much worse in theory, right? It doesn't seem like there's any chance that it's going to end in the next few days, certainly. And, you know, who knows? So the rebel group in Yemen, the Houthis, who nobody really, you know, could find them on the map beforehand. They're like, all right, we're in the war, too. And it's like, what? I didn't even know you're a thing. I'm like, well, they're probably not a big deal. And then all the people online are like, well, they got way more rockets than Lebanon. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I never heard of these guys. They're so, if you look at the map, they're so far from us and they're like almost hitting us. Now they are shooting over Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, which is also not a great idea. And they've, I think, come closer to them because they're closer so far. But there's a lot of like crazy factors in play. And then you think about like Iran is very motivated to get involved. And like, it seems pretty firmly that Russia's like, the other side is like, it's not that big, but it's like Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, you know, what's left of Syria, parts of Yemen and Iraq, and then like North Korea, which isn't involved. But that's basically the other side in terms of like countries with military power. No.
Well, what are you trying to do? Start a whole world war here? Listing every possible combat?
I'm just saying, of course, that's where your mind goes. That's like,
yeah, well, I mean, I think all parties involved are trying desperately to keep it limited to, you know, Israel and Hamas right now, right? I don't think Hezbollah or
but
Iran
here's
wants
the
to
thing.
Get involved. The
for
United
sure,
States,
for sure. Yeah. No, listen, what seems to be happening so far is because, well, I mean, Israel and Hezbollah are going back and forth every day, but there's, you know, no troops really on either side.
Yeah.
And Hezbollah supposedly hasn't been going great for Hezbollah so far. Because I think they were maybe a little surprised by Israel's like technology improvement since their last war, which was like 17 years ago. And I'm sure the U.S., which doesn't really, you know, the nice thing about having the great, you know, like the biggest military in the history of the world, there is no posturing from the U.S. Like you hear Netanyahu getting up and like, we will end you, blah, blah, blah. You don't hear that from like Biden or Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense or anything. Like, they don't have to say anything, right? They don't. It may be privately, they might say to Lebanon, like, hey, if you like, here's our red line. If you go past this,
they've been pretty
you.
Public about it. And I mean, they sent two aircraft carriers. I don't know how you can get.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying he's not going through the media the way like, you know, Netanyahu and Hamas and Iran and all these people are.
Biden's giving speech after speech where he says, I got one word for you. Don't, if you're trying to escalate the, you know,
I hear what you're saying, but I think, but I'm saying they don't really have to act like a tough guy as much when you,
because they are a tough guy.
So, the head of the Marines, who actually just had a heart attack, unfortunately, the head of the Marines gave a speech because it was the 40th
American or Israeli Marines,
U.S. Marines.
Oh, okay.
People are blaming Senator Tommy Tuberville because he doesn't have a number two in the Marines because Tuberville is
blocking
anybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure he loves the military and Americans though. So he said basically, you know, in his speech for the 40th anniversary of Lebanon, killing like 240 something Marines, in Beirut, he said like, you know, anybody who, if you fire on us, someone else will raise your children. That's like the Marine thing. If you fire on us, someone else will raise your kid. So anyway, so, you know, you see the news all and then like it's a small country. Like we know a zillion people who've been called up who, you know, to serve. And just tonight, some guy came. My kids have been doing like charity and helping things out and making food for people. And so a guy came to pick it up and deliver it. And my daughter's like, where are you going? And he told me, he's like, oh, can you like drop me off at this funeral on the way? Like, and she's, you know, she's a kid in high school. That's like the that's sort of where the world is here right now. So, and there's no end. There's not a lot of grownups running the show on any in the world. You know, the idea of the UN is like cute in general, but they're not actually useful. During wars, they can't actually stop anything from happening, or like, or, you know, get people together and have them, you know, work their differences out. So I don't know. You just hope it doesn't spiral and that, you know, you're safe and that as few people as possible die and then it's over, because it's, you know, you can't really enjoy things like you know, you're just going through the motions and every day feels the same and you're not really going anywhere. Now, what do you think?
You know, obviously, as an American Jew, I'm looking at it from a very different angle. For me, what's so dispiriting is, look, you can have issues with the current Israeli government. I certainly do. You can have issues with specific policies or strategies they're pursuing in this war. I certainly do. But like, to jump from that to like just the explicit, rampant anti-Semitism that's so virulent and so broad, and it's so shocking and depressing. You know, Av was sort of joking about this on Pretty Good Friends last night, but like, it just seems like a significant portion of the world's attitude, including many educated people and many liberal people, is, you know, murdering Jews is okay. Murdering Jews is justified. Murdering Jews is a different category than murdering any other kind of people on earth. And it's just, and obviously this is a very small minority of people who feel that way, but it is amplified on social media. And as small as that minority is, it's a lot bigger than it should be. And it's a lot more people of power and influence than it should be. And so, you know, that part's depressing. The, you know, the fact that, posters of kidnapped children are torn down just as like a de rigueur. It's so depressing to me, that aspect of it. And like, you know, we have like a Stand With Israel lawn sign that has been stolen twice now, and we live in a neighborhood with a lot of people with similar signs. And I was trying, like, the first time was obviously malevolent, and the police officer who I was speaking to about it actually told me that they caught someone doing it. But last night I was trying to tell people, I'm like, listen, last night was Halloween and teenagers are going around and teenagers are just, you know, causing problems on Halloween. And just because the teenager writes bald asshole on your door doesn't mean it's a hate crime. And just because they steal your Israel lawn sign, and that's a Curb reference for those who don't know. And just because they, you know, steal your Israel lawn sign that's not necessarily a hate crime either. You know, they're just teenagers being teenagers. But at the same time, there is this feeling of like fear and, you know, like the level of security outside my synagogue and my kids' schools in New Jersey, it's just insane right now, right? Like, there's, by the way, it's not like my kids' school in New Jersey is a Jewish school. Is it a Zionist school? Absolutely, unapologetically. But it's not, from the outside, it's just a building. There's no Israeli flag or anything in front of the building. But yet there's like, you know, it looks like a military base because, you know, there's threats against it. And, you know, people are afraid to send their kids to school otherwise. And it's, so that's not a great feeling to have. And it seems like that's going to get worse, not better, because the reality is, as tragic as this is, more people are likely to die, including more civilians, including more Gazans. And for people who want to hate Jews, they'll use that as an excuse to trigger their Jew hatred. So,
yeah. I mean, the signs is sort of like, it's crazy because the lady who made the signs did so such a smart way, which is she didn't put Israeli flags. She didn't like call Hamas terrorists or put any incendiary language on it. And, you know, and a lot of the people on the signs, because a lot of the kidnapped people are, you know, Thai citizens who are there to like work the land or whatever. And, you know, not Jews. But it is also insane because I feel like if you get caught ripping down the signs with your face, for the most part, like, you're probably going to get fired from your job. So it's like, do these people not watch the news, or are they happy to get fired?
Well, so
in pursuit of a cause they feel strongly about, which is ripping down posters of kidnapped children,
which is how dare anybody have sympathy for a child who's been kidnapped because that child's a Jew. And as you said, not even necessarily a Jew. I think over 50 of the Israeli hostages are Thai citizens and non-Jews.
Yeah.
I think altogether, but, you know, but they're painted with the Jew brush. And so, you know, they go into the same, you know, cattle car, I guess. It is depressing. Now, some of them are stupid young teenagers or whatever, maybe. And so they don't, you know, they're filled with hate, but hopefully it's reversible or educational. And, you know, they don't have jobs to lose, I guess. But but, you know, I don't know. And it's just like there's absolutely a chilling effect on speech in general. And I don't dispute that. And there's no question that there's some people who are pro-Palestinian who feel uncomfortable that they can't express themselves at work or whatever. However, these media articles I read that describe this narrative to talk about, oh, this person got fired for a pro-Palestinian comment, or this person got fired for an anti-Israel comment. And then you see the comments. The comments are like, glory to the martyrs, with like Jewish with dagger.
Right. Hitler should have finished
emojis.
Them off.
Yeah. Like, that is not a pro-Palestine comment or an anti-Israel comment. That is just, that's bigotry. That's anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so frustrating, because like, I think of myself as pro-Palestine. I do not want an occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. I do not want, I want a Palestinian state. Like, I think of myself as pro-Palestine. Pro-Palestine is not, you know, celebrating murder of anybody, the same way that it's not pro-Israel to celebrate the death of civilians in Gaza, obviously, which, you know, is not a common thing, but there are some certainly on the right, or people who are young or stupid or whatever, who are doing that. And that's also obviously bad. It's just, it's so depressing. Like, the excuse that Middle East conflict gives people for hatred is what really bothers me.
Yeah, and here's a scary thing. Like, A, imagine how much worse it is in every other country. Forget about Canada, who I haven't heard anything about, good or bad. I don't know if they know about what's going on yet.
Oh, the anti-Semitism in Europe is much worse than America, for sure.
But Europe, I mean, like, at this point, my daughter, before the war, my daughter was like, wanted to go to Italy. Like, I'm done. I have no interest in going to Europe, possibly ever.
What happened in that airport in Dagestan has me worried, because we are flying to Istanbul in April as of now, and there's open people making calls like, if you see any Jew in any airport in any Muslim majority country, attack them. And so I'm like, I've been to the Istanbul airport before. I felt very safe in Istanbul in general. But, you know, I'm a little apprehensive now, and I'm hoping, you know, that's 5 months away and things will cool down. But like, yeah, it's not great.
There are very few countries in the world I would feel safe in. And
New
that's
York
a scary
City,
thing.
By the way, New York City, which has the largest Jewish population of any city in the world, more than, you know, Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. In New York City, people are saying, like, you know, don't wear a kippah in public, or, you know, hide your Jewish star, which I refuse to do that, because, you know, I'm an American. I'm not going to hide who I am. But like, you know, I'm not going to fault people who do that. And it's just sad that people have to do that. It's sad that at Cooper Union in the middle of the city, Jews were told, go hide in the attic so you'll be safe. Like, that's what we're telling people. So, you know, and again, this has nothing to do with the politics. Like, this idea that any Jew, anybody who's visibly Jewish, is therefore by definition a legitimate target is the definition of anti-Semitism, right? You don't go up and attack a random Muslim, or somebody who you even think is Muslim and might end up being Sikh, for God's sake, like after 9/11, you know, because of a terrorist attack. And you don't attack a random person of any identity because people of their identity are doing things you like or don't like around the world. But, you know, that's sort of a accepted standard now. And again, it's accepted standard on like college campuses among supposedly educated progressive people. So that's the part that's, you know, the most upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, and well, the scary thing is, this is in a country which, like, the Jews, we do have a lot of influence, and we have, you know, well, I think someone put a graphic up after 10/7, all 50 governors supporting Israel, and pretty much all 100 senators, and well over 400 congresspeople support Israel. Like, this is with all the support, you know what I mean? Like, of the people of, and certainly Biden is you know, I think at heart a Zionist, and
he said so explicitly many times.
No, he for sure. I'm saying, like, you know, there are very few people in positions of power in the United States who would disagree with anything we've said so far. But and so it's like, well, what's going on in the world, especially with younger people? And maybe some of them age out of it. But I feel like if it's anti-Semitism or anything like that is baked in from such a young age, it's very hard to sort of change later in life. And I don't know. And, you know, and the images are only going to get worse and worse.
And I really do strongly think that a lot of this is social media, because social media just exacerbates, you know.
Yeah, I mean, social media. Almost started World War III with the hospital parking lot thing a few weeks ago, where people rushed to judgment beforehand and literally rushed to burn down synagogues and you know, had million person riots
in, York,
in the street.
In Long Island, in Westchester.
It's only going to get messier. And then it's like, well, what's the answer? Because nobody has like a fixable answer to the conflict. The ceasefire people ultimately aren't really serious, because, I mean, Hamas is coming out, you know, Hamas spokesman saying today, we want to do three more of these, a million more, but the second and the third and the fourth, he said.
Yeah.
And, you know, Israel's clearly not interested, right? You cannot even ask for a ceasefire, really, when they have 240 hostages still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if your goal, if you're listening to this and your goal is for as few children or innocent civilians to die as possible, which is an admirable goal.
Well, that should be everybody's goal.
Then I think the only thing you can call for is A, give up the hostages, because then Israel's A, motivation to stay in Gaza is diminished greatly. And B, I think the U.S. can, in theory, assert more pressure on the on Israel to wrap it up and finish whatever they're doing in Gaza, because it's it's impossible for them to do now. I mean, and realistically, I think, you know, you want to call for Hamas to basically surrender, and what that means, I don't know what that means. Does that mean like the, you know, what if Israel has a list of like, all right, here are the people who did 10-7, and then here's like the top X number of guys, and they could argue about how many, and then maybe Israel gives back some Palestinian prisoners or something like that. But I it's not realistic at this point to say.
Well, yeah, none of that's happening because Hamas is not a negotiating period. So, you know, right. Except,
well, that's a problem. I mean, if they're not going to negotiate, like, what's going to happen? You know, like, I don't think the world will.
Well,
let
Ismail Haniyeh and the other Hamas leadership living in their fancy hotels in Qatar are going to continue to smile.
No, for sure. I think
and the people on the ground are going to suffer tremendously.
Egypt not letting any civilians in, minus foreign people with other passports, would okay.
They let in 82 people I saw who were
Not, I mean, the U.S. was nervous that it would there would be a riot, so they didn't let their people go today, but they'll let Americans go tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, but a very small amount. I mean, there aren't a lot of, I guess, people with dual citizenship in Gaza. I don't know. And
500 Americans, as Marsha Blackburn misleadingly tweeted out.
And but that's very, out of 2 million, that's a very, very low number. And then, I don't know.
To be candid, if you have joint citizenship, you probably would prefer to be in the United States, not Gaza, generally speaking.
No, of course. No. I'm just saying, So, there's no answer to like when this could end. You're not dealing with a rational actor at all. Obviously, in Hamas, they have no motivation. Bibi has no motivation really for it to end, because I think when it ends, that's the end of
his career's over.
Also. Yeah. So there's really not a lot of motivation on the other side. Now, you could say the U.S., which definitely has a relationship with Qatar, can they pressure? I mean, what does that mean, kick them out of the country? They're not going to, like, send them to Israel. Qatar is obviously not going to do that. So, like, they're going to send them to Iran or something. You know, it's not real. It's not.
But it was really weird when I was at the Brooklyn Nets preseason game against an Israeli team, and they had a moment of silence for the Israeli victims, and there was Israeli flags all over the building, to see the huge banner ads everywhere for Qatar Airlines, which is the sponsor of Barclays.
I mean, it's one of the weird things in the world. Like I was saying, is like the lines are so drawn right now in like global politics, and they're one of the few sort of groups that's sort of in the middle, where they definitely have a relationship with the U.S. and there's bases. First of all, really learning just how many bases, U.S. bases there are. Like, did you know there were so many bases left in Iraq and I think Syria? And like, man, they got bases everywhere. A lot of people were saying right after 10-7, like, you're about to find out why Americans don't have health insurance. But man, because think about how much, like, what supplies each of those bases need, in addition to like housing and feeding a few thousand Americans, the security they need, and like the defense sort of towards rockets and missiles, and one of the scary things in general is that a weaponry is getting so much better. Like, Hamas doesn't have an army or a navy or an air force really. And they have, like, you know, a lot of like crazy rockets. Now, I know that's basically what they're spending their entire, you know, GDP on, basically. But it is, I mean, there are groups you've never heard of that have, you know, insane rockets, and, you know, maybe one day that'll be nukes, who knows? Like, it's just a very, even if we get out of this soon, it's just such a troubling sign for the world. Like, we have a lot of kids, and like it's a like, forget global warming, we might not even get there, you know what I mean? Like, it's a scary like time to bring up your kids in the world. Like, it is it's frightening, like, how, you know, I don't know, it's just there's a lot of bad hombres in the world, and it's I don't know, it's scary. I don't know if you should speak up if people are saying anything anti-Semitic or Islamophobic or anything, like, you know, speak up even if it's annoying, even if they're, and trust me, I know there'll be 20 losers and insane people in your comments immediately telling you no babies were beheaded or anything like that. You know, it's still worth speaking up and making other people feel safe, because a lot of people don't feel safe right now. But also, if you are Jewish, and a lot of our listeners are Jewish, like, don't, it's fibby, like, scared in your head, but like, don't, you know, like, that's not, you know,
we've survived and overcome worse.
Survived much worse than a bunch of sociology grads ripping down posters. Like, we'll be okay.
But there is something heartbreaking. Like, you see like the names and pictures of people who are dying, or the figures, the numbers, which are just, you know, ballooning. And regardless of how accurate they are, obviously many, many people are dying, and many of them are you know,
think about it. Civilian. Every death, like
on October 6th, every single one of these people was alive. And on October 6th, not a single one of these people had any reason to think that they wouldn't be alive within.
Sure. Sure. And, I know one person so far who died, and just that's one person, and like, you know, that family is destroyed forever. Like, that will be sort of the first byline in their family history for, you know, the next 50 years, hopefully.
Forget about family. I mean, there's entire families, Israeli and also now Palestinian, like entire mm-hmm. families wiped out, entire
yeah,
families
so, yeah you hear right you hear stories,
fathers,
about
mothers, children. And again, like a month ago, these people were alive and had no reason to think anything was going to change.
These people were burned alive, and one kid was out of the house, so he survived. Now he's the only person, or there was no one to say Kaddish, which is the mourner's prayer for like this whole family, because everyone was dead. Or, it's crazy. It is really crazy. It's very easy to say, ceasefire and stop the killing. Hamas promises they will immediately keep killing. So like, I don't know. There's no right answers here at all. It's not even like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how it stops. I don't know who's motivated to even stop it. Hopefully we avoid World War III. But I don't know. It is the most upsetting time, certainly of my lifetime. It sucks.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that's what we decided to podcast about today.
Do you want to stop this and release this on the main feed, and we'll do a quick football patron one?
Just so whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Let's just stop. I mean, Leah, let's do a separate football one, so we're not just like going straight into the NFL.
Okay. So I post this on the main feed, War Part 2.
Yeah, like... sure. No, don't say War Part 2. Just like State of the World or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. כבר מועד לא עומד על הרגליים, שבר כלי שאין בו כבר מה, והשמיים הם לי חומה, חבור בתוך הים ביבשה. ורק אתה יכול להפוך מספדי למחול, לזכך את החול, לרקח בי הכל. ורק אתה מבין איך לגשת ללב שלי, משכך כל כאב שבי, מרפא את הלב. הלב שלי נקרא לשניים, חציו השם וחציו לשם שמיים, כמו סופה מן הים עולם, כמו תופעה של מרים פועם, ואין תרופה בעולם ללב. ורק אתה יכול להפוך מספדי למחול, לזכך את החול, לרקח בי הכל. ורק אתה איך לגשת ללב שלי, משכך כל כאב שבי, מרפא את הלב. יש עוצר שמציק לצור ואין ציר שיצק לצור רק אני מול ים שלם ולב שבור ורק אתה יכול להפוך מספדי למחול לזכך את החול לרכך בי הכל ורק אתה מבין איך לגשת ללב שלי משכך כל כאב שבי מרפא את הלב ורק אתה יכול להפוך מספדי למחול לזכך את החול לקדש בי הכל ורק אתה מבין איך לגשת ללב שלי משכך כל כאב שבי מרפא את הלב
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.